Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you by Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Tet, and we're holding a daf Tzadik Chet Amud Beit at the Halakha Mishnah. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to get involved in further, well, they may appear to be conundrums, you know, similar to the strange Appalachian conundrums we had before, but over here, these conundrums are all in terms of figuring out not how somebody did something usser, but how life can get very complicated even without anything usser, because people can get mixed up, and we'll see what happens. But all of this, remember, is part of pen ashrit et nachalati. Person's nachalam. We'll see a remez to this. Actually, one of the Mishnayos, even though the Gemara refuses to admit that that's what it's doing, but we'll see. I believe, anyway, I didn't find it anywhere, but I believe that it's a remez to the whole basis of the placement of these Mishnayos here at this stage in Yevamos. So let's start off with the Halakha Mishnah. Chamesh nashim shenitarvu v'lodotehen. So what happens over here is that five women are in a hideout from the Nazis, right? So they're in this like cave or basement. And they all give birth. And then what happens is that all of a sudden the Nazis burst in and they all run out and through the back door and so on and pull out all of the kids. And now nobody knows which baby is whose because they didn't even have a time to put on a little, armband about which baby is what. Now we have no idea who is who. So what in the world happens now? Well, I mean, there's no problem yet. All of these children were male, right? Now, besides the male children that get confused, who's who, we don't know who is a child of whom, each one of them also has another son that has already grown and they know who their mother is. So now what happens is that when they end up growing up, and they still have no idea really who their mother was. So they grow up, they get married, and they die. And they all die without children. So now each one of these has a brother who knows who his mother is, but who has no idea whose wife he is being faced with Yibam. So now we've got each time one of these brothers dies, there's going to be these five definite children from knowing their mother. Each one of them is going to have to get involved in the process of doing Yibam, right? Because, I mean, this one might be, let's take a case. We'll give each one a letter, right? So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we've got A, B, C, D, E. Okay, so in these cases, the brothers A, B, C, D, E, they know who their mother is. But the brothers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they're the ones who die. They're the ones who leave over wives. And now brothers A through E, none of them know which one is their brother. They know that one of them is their brother, but they don't know which one is their brother. Now, there's no way
not to be.
We therefore, in order to be matir them, what do we need to do? So the partial solution would be for all of the brothers to do chalitza to each one of these women, just in case she is his actual yevama, right? And that way they will all be allowed to go and marry whoever they wish. But if we would do that, if we would have all of the brothers do chalitza, then we would be actually being mevatel the yibam, because then nobody's going to be able to do yibam. So we've got really two choices over here if we want to try to get Yibum done. And take a look what we could do. We could say to one of the brothers, the poor volunteer, why don't you do Yibum to all five of these women? Obviously, you can only do Yibum after the four other children did Chalitza, because otherwise you're going to be maybe taking a Yevama Lashuk with each marriage that you do. But at least that way, you will definitely be Mekayim a mitzvah of Yibum when you take all five women, Baruch Avram. That should keep you up. Just imagine having these five wonderful wives, right? So, yes, indeedy, I saw that did it. So if we've got a volunteer who's ready to do Yibum five times after everybody else gave Chalitza, then at least he knows he's doing one Yibum, correct? The alternative is that what we do is we tell each brother to do Yibum with one of these women after everybody else did Chalitza. But the value of that is that there's at least a 1 in 5 chance for each one of these men to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yibum. And the Mishnah is telling us that it's better for everybody to at least have a chance of doing Yibum, in which case maybe all of them will do Yibum properly, even though it's possible that none of them will end up with the correct woman. But it's better to give the possibility of all of the people being Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yibum, than to tell one brother to do all of the Yibums and to be Mevato, the possibility of Yibum, from the other four. Okay? So therefore, the Mishnah is recommending, obviously this is not the only solution, but the Mishnah is recommending that what we should do is we should have four of these guys who are unrelated, right? So we have four of these guys do chalitza to each one. We start with one. So four give chalitza to one, and one takes, let's say, the almana of one, number one. And then we take the brother A, who did the Yibum with one, he teams up with another three brothers and gives chalitza to Yavama two. And then son B does the chalitza to the almana of number two. And then those two go ahead and they do the same thing, teaming up with another two brothers to do the chalitza for the widow of three. And brother C does Yibum with widow C and widow three. And we do this for all five, right? And that way, Nimtzu, so each one ends up with four chalitzas. Each one of these widows ends up with four chalitzas and one Yibum. And even though, again, there's an easier solution, but you can always find somebody to volunteer maybe to take all of them. But Gabi's got a smile. He's thinking, yeah, maybe that wouldn't be so bad. That's all very nice when you live up there in the Galil, you know, and you can spread out. But the Mishnah does not recommend that solution. Okay, says the Gemara now. Apparently, what we're doing over here, specifically this way, which we'd like to understand, but we want to make one thing very, very clear first. You have to finish all four chalitzas before the fifth one is able to do Yibum on any one of these women, for an obvious reason, because if you didn't do the chalitzas, then each one of them may be doing Yibum with a woman who is not his Yavama, and therefore he's going to be over on a Yavama Lashuk. And so this way, we know that there's a possibility, at least a 20% possibility, that he's being Mekayim, a tremendous mitzvah. And otherwise, he's not doing anything wrong because she already got chalitza from everybody else, right? Yibumei bereisha lo, you can't have one of them do Yibum before the others do chalitza, for the obvious reason, because he's going to end up being pergea in the Yisra of Yavama Lashuk. But why do we need to have this alternate A to 1 and B to 2 and C to 3, or in other words, one different person does Yibum each time? Why can we have one guy do the Yibum for everybody? So why does it dafka mean who Ushlosha, the guy who did the first Yibum, teams up with another three of the brothers? Why can't it be the same guy doing the Yibum, right? We don't really care, do we? We do. That's what the point that the Mishnah wants to tell you is that you might have figured on your own, if the Mishnah hadn't taught you this, you might have thought, isn't it better for Yibum to be definitely achieved and have one guy do all of the five, and that way he definitely got his Yavama in there, then to take a chance on nobody doing Yibum right? So instead, the Mishnah is saying, no, that would be wrong. Do not think that the better solution is to have one guy do all of the Yibum. But rather, we should give each person a chance to do Yibum by giving him one of these women, because at least that way it's possible that he is going to be the one who's Mekayim the Mitzvah, or all of them might be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Dilma Misram Yaledide, he might get his own Yavama. And the point over here being, of course, that we have this klal, remember, that we had very early in the Masechet. We want to make sure the lo mevato levato mitzvahs yibu. So we try to arrange things in such a way that the mitzvah shouldn't be betela. Over here, the Mishnah is making clear that that concept is not to be mevato the mitzvah of yibum, as if it's a overall mitzvah. In each particular case, we want to make it possible, at least, to be mekayim the mitzvah of yibum for that mitzvah of yibum. That's the point. So if we allow each brother to have each possible brother to have a chance to do yibum, that's better, because that way we're not being mevato the yibum by giving them all to one brother. That's the point. Now, we have situations where things might be a little bit more complex. How would that be? Well, let's assume that we have some who are brothers and some who are not brothers. The Gemara will ask, what the heck are you talking about? But we have some who are brothers and some who are not brothers. Then the ones who are brothers, they do the chalitzas, and the ones who are not brothers, they do the yibum. What? What are you talking about? Maika Omar. Omar of Safra, let me explain this curious terminology over here. What happens is over here that we have some of them were only achim min ha'av, and some of them were achim min ha'av, and were also achim min ha'em. So then what we do is that the ones who are achim min ha'em, they can do chalitza with all of them, and the one who are only achim min ha'av, they do yibum. So what would be the case over here? The case over here is that you've got, again, Rashi takes on the names from the Torah. So, all right, so we use Rashi's names, right? So let's say we have this guy, we'll call him Reuven. He marries two women. So one of them will give the name Rachel, and one will give the name Chana to make it clear that they're not related. So he marries these two women. He has a son. The son's name is Yosef, and that Yosef is now a son to Rachel and to Reuven. Then he divorces Rachel. Very sad situation. We wouldn't expect Rachel to ever be the one who gets divorced, but there you go. So now he divorces Rachel. She goes and marries another guy, okay? And then, of course, we have to call him Boaz, right? So she goes and she marries Boaz, okay? And this Boaz has a son from a different marriage. So now these wives, okay, this Rachel was originally the wife of Reuven, and Chana, who remains the wife of Reuven, and three other women that we don't have to give names to, they were the ones that were hiding from the Nazis. They all had children at the same time. They had these male children. And then they run out and all of the kids get mixed up and we don't know who's who. So it turns out that in this case, Yosef, who is the son, the original son of Reuven with Rachel, and now Rachel is not married to Reuven anymore and had this other child from Boaz. So what happened over here is that Yosef is going to have Chana's son is his brother, but she is his brother from his father, because Reuven remained married to Chana after he divorced this Rachel, right? But he also has another half-brother. In this case, it's his mother, because Rachel, who had another son from Boaz, is also his brother. I mean, it's only his brother from his mother, okay? And then we've got these other sons. They only have full brothers. He's the only one that's a little bit confused. He's got a half-brother from his mother, and he's got this brother from his father. So then what we want to say is that the achim min ha'em, so the ones who are achim min ha'em, they do chalitza with everyone. Okay, so who's the one that is achim min ha'em? This is Yosef. So he does chalitza with everyone because he's got a brother from his father was a Yavama, and he needs to make sure that she is Muteret L'Shuk and that she can get Yibum from someone. But he cannot do Yibum at all. Why? Because one of these women is the wife of his brother only from the mother, because they were only related through Rachel, and he's a son of Boaz, and Reuven himself had given birth to Yosef with Rachel. So there's no way, even though he is needed to do Chalitza, because they are related to the father, but since they're not related to the same mother, one of these kids is going to be married to a woman who he cannot be Miyavim even after she gets Chalitza, because he will be marrying the almana of his brother from a mother. So therefore, he can't be part of these A, B, C, D, and so on, because he's not allowed to ever do Yibum. See, he has to be in the position of always doing Chalitza. We need him to always do Chalitza, because he's got to take off the Zika of the one who is his brother, and he doesn't know which one that is. Okay, so in that case, we're saying, look, the ones who have the brother from a mother, they are going to have to do Chalitza, but they cannot do Yibum. It's the brothers from the same father, so they can be part of the taking turns, taking one of them for Yibum. Okay, so that means one of these women, either one of these brothers is going to have to take two of these Yavamas, because we don't have enough to go around since we've taken out Yosef from the picture, since he's not allowed to Yibum. So if we're going to end up doing the right thing, so either one guy is going to end up with two wives, or one woman is going to end up with five Chalitzas. And she's not going to get married to any of them, and she'll go marry somebody else, but whatever. But the point is that we need to take into consideration the possibility of one of them being out of range and being unable to take care of our cute solution. Cute solutions don't always work. So we're talking about the complexity of interrelationships. And we'll see later on where I believe there's a hint as to what the whole point of bringing all of these weird Appalachian stories and these kind of sfeikas and running away from Nazis and so on, what does this have to do with that? Obviously, the Masechet has been focused on various questions of suffix. Is a woman married? Is a woman a Yavama? Did a son die first? And so on and so forth. Okay, that's obviously going to come up in terms of the Din of Yibum. Now, suppose some of them were Kohanim and some of them are non-Kohanim, okay? So every Kohen is going to have to do Chalitza with all of them, obviously, but he can't do Yibum, because in order for him to do Yibum, he's going to have to take a woman who got four Chalitzas. Well, if she's a Chalutza, then a Kohen's not allowed to marry her. So he can't say, well, okay, what's the difference? Either I'm taking my Yavama, in which case I'm doing a big mitzvah, or you're taking a Chalutza. You can't go take a Chalutza. So therefore, you're out of the running, my son. So all you can do is give Chalitza, but you can't give the Yibum, because then you're going to be taking a woman who had Chalitza. Because maybe she's not your Yavama, you see? Okay, so that's another case where we're going to have to keep them out. So the Kohanim can only do the Chalitza, but they have to do the Chalitza. And the non-Kohanim, they go ahead and they do the Yibum. Now, suppose you have a mixture. You have Kohanim, and you have some of them have this problem of Yosef's problem, that one of them is a brother only through a mother. So then, basically, both the Kohanim and the others, the brothers Minaim, can only do Chalitza and not be Miyabim. And that way we end up with, you know, two women or more that got five Chalitzas, or two brothers of the other side who married more than one Yavama. Okay, fine, that's clear. Now, there's some other interesting issues over here, and that is that Tana Rabbanan, if you want to really figure out how weird things can get, you have to realize that there are cases of someone who's going to have to do Chalitza to his own mother. That's weird. And the reason that he has to do that is because he doesn't know. Or he might have to give Chalitza to his sister because he doesn't know. Or he might have to give Chalitza to his daughter because there is some suffix over here. So now, how in the world would such a thing happen? So let's take that first case. He's going to give chalitza to his mother. Yeah, well, what's so problematic? His mother and another woman, they were in this Nazi hideout. Their kids got mixed up, right? And then each one of them has a son, and we don't know whose son is who. And so they originally had two sons, but then they had a son each in this Nazi hideout, and they got mixed up. Okay, so then what happened is that the son that we do know came along and married the mother of the other one's son, and then the other son married the other woman. So the two sons that we know who they were married the two mothers who are not related to them. So very simple. And then they died without children. But they have brothers. They just have no idea who the brothers are, right? But in this case, what happens is now each one of these women are going to need yibum, but they're going to be falling to basically the brother of their new husbands, who are the children of the other woman. Well, obviously, you can't do yibum because it might be your actual mother, but you have to do chalitza. Each son has to do chalitza with both of these women. So therefore, I am definitely doing chalitza to my mother. One of these two is my mother, but I have no choice, so I have to give her chalitza. So therefore, each one of them is doing chalitza to his mother, mitzad ha-safek. Okay, how do we get the other case? La'achoto mi-safek. Where do we get achoto mi-safek? Ketzad. Well, now here we're going to see that, I don't know whether I should confuse things or just keep things, maybe we'll just try to keep things simple and then I'll go back if we have time and explain what the problem is. La'achoto mi-safek. How is it that you do chalitza with your own sister? Mitzad ha-safek. Okay, so here's a case. We have imo v'ishacher, and between them, they've got two girls in this Nazi hideout again, and they get mixed up, right? Now, each one also, of course, had a son from a different marriage before this. So now, bo acheim shalom yotam ha'im v'nisa'um. So now, they have sons that were from the same father, but not from the same mother. So they came and they married these girls. So in other words, each one of these, we have the mother of these, each one has a mother of these girls. They had a son, as we said, from an earlier marriage. And what happened is that each one, in the case of that earlier marriage, each one of the husbands had a son from his own earlier marriage, right? So now that son from his own earlier marriage is not related in any way to the situation now, because they're not part of any kind of sfeikus, and they are completely, in that case, unrelated to these women. So now what happens is, so they're only half-brothers, right? But now if they went ahead, the ones who were from the same father, they died. So then the ones that are left, who are only their half-brothers, they do chalitza with both of them, in which case he's doing chalitza, and he's definitely, one of them is going to be pottering his ach min ha'av, in which case he's also going to be doing chalitza to his own sister, choletz la'achoto misafek, because since both of them have to do with chalitza with these two women, and each one, we have this suffix of that being maybe his sister, min ha'im. So that's what he has to do. He has to do a chalitza to a suffix achoto. The problem, look, I mean, I'm afraid you're going to see what the problem is right away. So we'll as well talk about it. The problem is that it says over here, la'achoto misafik. It doesn't say l'safik achoto, okay? So therefore, what it means is similar to the case that we had before, that he's doing a chalitza vadai to his mother. So what the Lashon over here in the Braisa is that he's doing chalitza vadai to his sister because of a suffix, not maybe his sister. So the case that we just had really doesn't fit because it's telling us why you might be doing chalitza to your sister. But it's not telling me that you definitely do chalitza to your sister. Okay, so because of that, there is a different girsa. And the truth is it's an easier case. So Rashi suggests that that should be the correct girsa. And that is slightly different, which it says, Imo v'isha acheret, you'll do shtei nekevot b'machabeh, v'amdu shnei achim min ha'av v'nisa'im, choletz v'shteihem. One guy does chalitza, not two guys. So we only have one guy, and this is an easier case, really. So we're talking about one guy who does chalitza to these two women. So in other words, each of these women had a son, of course, from an earlier marriage, but otherwise there's no case in all of these cases. And now each of them has this son, and now the father had two sons from an earlier marriage. So that's what happens. So let's take now these brothers, go ahead, marry these girls, and we don't know who they are, and they are related to the same father, and he goes ahead, the brothers of this one guy, we'll call him Reuven, he's got two brothers from the same father, and they go and they get married. The two girls, who we don't know who they are, but one is definitely this guy's sister from the same mother. And then they both die. So then there is one of them that is his real sister. There's only one guy here, the guy we're calling Reuven. She is definitely not Chayeves and Yibum, but we don't know who she is. And one of them, he does have to do Yibum, but he can't do Yibum because she might be his sister from the same mother. So therefore, he does chalitza with both of them. But that means he's definitely doing chalitza to his sister. He knows that one of these is his sister, and he's doing chalitza to his sister. Afal piken. Yeah, it's the same thing as the case of the mother. And we also have a case of bitomi safek. How is it that you should end up giving chalitza to your own daughter? Okay, the case again. You have a woman and two women, essentially. One is this, we know this guy had ishto. And his wife and another woman have, again, each one has a girl, and we don't know whose is whose. And the brothers of these two fathers go ahead, and they married the girls. So again, we have, let's say, again, we'll take biblical names, as Rashi does. So we have the wife of Reuven and the wife of Kalev. Each one has a daughter, and they got mixed up. Reuven and Kalev are not even related in any way. Okay, so then Reuven's brother marries one of these girls, and Kalev's brother marries another one of these girls. No problem, perfectly normal, right? So the most that's going to happen over here is that, I don't know, maybe you married your niece. Big deal. It's a mitzvah to marry a niece, so we don't care about that. So what are we going to say to him? You're doing something wrong in marrying these girls? Why? And then they marry them, and they both die without children. So then each father has to do chalitza, and therefore he's doing chalitza to his own daughter, because it's possible that each brother married the girl from that other family. So then even though he has to do chalitza to his yavama, she might be his daughter. Okay, again, this doesn't fit the wording for the same reason as Rashi says, because it says over here, it says that he goes to Suffolk Bito and not Bito mi Suffolk. So then we'll have to change it again, and we'll have to read it as one of the fathers had two brothers. And then he, the one who had those two brothers, does chalitza to both of them, even though one of them is definitely his daughter. So he is giving chalitza to his daughter because of a suffix, and so on. Okay. Anyway, so we have in each one of these cases, these latter cases, two ways of reading the situation. It's one guy or it's two guys, depending on the language. Now, Tanya, Haya Rebbe Meir Omer. Another thing that is very curious, you can have two people that get children, and between them in that relationship, they can end up with five different statuses, as if they're different countries, different nations, from their children. Let me tell you what the case would be. KSAT. Okay, a Jew goes along to the slave market, and he buys an Eved and a Shifcha. Now, remember that when a Jew buys a slave in the slave market, we had it earlier, if he buys a slave from a Goy does not have the right to own slaves, right? So it's not that he has an Eved Kanani or a Shifcha Kanani. It's that he owns a Goy. But they do not have statuses of Eved v'Shifcha, remember, until he's matfil them l'shem avdus, or l'shem shifchas. And they have to be mekabel on themselves that they are an Eved, like the Rambam says, Ritzon chaliyot bein avdei Yisrael aksherim, yes, fine, dunk him in, and then everything's fine, right? So until he dunks them, they are not avonim. They're goyim. Okay, so he goes, now these guys have been together for a while, this man and woman. He buys both of them on the open market, and they had between them these sons. There were two sons. Those sons weren't part of the deal. So those sons are just plain old-fashioned goyim. Okay, he didn't have anything to do with them. Now, one of the two sons becomes a ger, so he becomes a regular Jew. So what do we have now? We've got one ger and one goy between this Eved and Shifcha, right? Okay. Now, when the person who bought the Eved and Shifcha on the open market goes ahead and he's matfil them l'shem avdut, and then they continue to sleep together and they have another son. So what's the din? Well, between the two of them, they have one son who's a ger, one son who's a goy, and one son who's an Eved, because now their new son is, of course, an Eved owned by the Jew who had bought them and was matfil them l'shem avdus and shifchus, right? So now we've got three different statuses between them. Ger, Goy, Eved. Okay, now the guy who bought these two people, he went ahead and he gave a get shichrur to the shifcha, to the woman. And they continue to sleep together. So the Eved, we try to tell the Eved, listen, sorry, buddy, but your long-term consort is now not allowed to be sleeping with you because she is a full Jewess and you're still an Eved. So you keep your nasty paws off of this woman you've been sleeping with for the past 20 years. Well, that don't work too well. So sure enough, he gets her pregnant again. And then what happens? Well, now they've got a mamzer. Now, obviously, this is going according to the Shita, that an Eved that was Baal Bas Yisrael, the Shifcha is now Bas Yisrael, he remains an Eved. Now, if they have a child, okay, so now we've got a Ger, a Goy, an Eved, and a mamzer, all coming from the same two people. Now, he goes ahead, and he gives a get shichur to the Eved, too. And then, of course, they could continue to be married as far as they're concerned. Everything's fine. Now they're both Jewish. And the new child is a regular guy. So it turns out that two people together in the long history of their exciting marriage have a ger, a goy, an eved, a mamzer, and a Jew between them. Okay, fine. That's very sweet. What the heck are you teaching us? I mean, this is kindergarten stuff. Micah Mashman. Yeah, it's cute. I understand. Is there any chiddush in all of this? Of course there is. This is Rabbi Meir telling you that an Ovid Kochovin and an Eved, Alba Bat Yisrael, even though this Bat Yisrael is only a Bat Yisrael after she was a Shivcha, that was an Ishtachara, nonetheless, Havad Mamzer. Why? Because Kedushin is in Taifsim. And Rabbi Meir holds wherever Kedushin is not Taifis, and the child is a Mamzer. That's the chiddush. Tana Rabbanan, I got a beautiful case for you. How do you think it could happen? This is all riddles, right? Our parak. So how do you think that it could happen that a guy would end up selling his own father in order to pay for his mother's ksuva? I challenge you to tell me that one. Sell your father to pay your mother's ksuva. Well, here's how it goes. Yesh mocheret aviv lahagbot leimo kituvata. So, ketzad. Okay, so we're back again. The guy goes to the market and he buys this Eved and Shivcha. And they have a son. And again, that son is not part of the deal. and he remains a goy. Then he was giving, he gave a get shichra to the shifcha, and he married her himself. Okay, so now he's got his ex-shifcha as a wife. Quite a convenient solution to people that can't find anybody to marry them. So, okay. So now what he does is he says to her, my dear sweetie, you know your son, the goy? He's really a nice boy. What I'm going to do is I'm giving him everything that I own. Great. Okay. She's very happy. And as you can see, it's dangerous to marry this shifcha because you never know what they do to your mind. And he goes ahead and he writes all of his property to her son, the goy. Oh my gosh. So now he gets the entire estate, okay? And then he dies. And now the shifcha says, where's my ksuva? There's no money here. My idiot husband gave it all to my son, the goy. Now, by this point, she's more frum than he is. My son, the goy, shouldn't be getting anything. Anyway, at least I want my ksuva. Okay, so now she has a lien against this guy's estate from before, right? He's, even though he gave his estate to her son, the goy, she still needs to collect her ksuva. So she exercises that lien against her son, the goy. The court paskins that the son, the goy, has to pay her ksuva. But he says, but I don't have anything to pay her with of my own. Okay, but you got a beautiful estate from your wife's Jewish husband who was stupid enough to give it all to you. So he says, yeah, but I used up everything. Well, how about your dad? Because her husband owned your dad, who's an Eved, and left your dad to you, go sell him and pay your mother's ksuva, you goy. So he has to sell his father to pay his mother's ksuva. Very cute case. Okay. So in that case, he would zemocher, nimtza zemocher et aviv, agbot li'ima ktuva. Okay, yes, I understand you're smiling, but what's the chiddush? What are we telling us here, my kamashmalan? Well, there's two possibilities. It might be that just like we saw that the earlier part of the story only works out a libra Rabbi Meir, who holds that the child is a mamzer if it was the child of a eved who is now married to a shivcha who is nishtachra and is now fully Jewish, that the child is still a mamzer because of the non-tfis of kiddushin. Assuming that the author of the second case is also Rabbi Meir, then the chiddush would be that an Eved who is considered to be metaltalim. Why do we say it's considered to be metaltalim? Because even though the truth is that, of course, an Eved is always kimakarkoi, right? We have psukim that say that, the snachaltabosom livnechem, and so on. So over there, that's true, but that's legabe dinim that have to do with, let's say, taking a shvuah. So, ein nishbaim al hakarkaot. So, the same thing is true. Ein nishbaim al haavadim. Or let's say, ein ona'a lakarkaot. Okay, there's also ein ona'a laavadim. But remember, when it comes to the purely financial issue of the difference between real estate and chattel, right? So, we have over there a halacha that liens can only be made against real estate. They don't normally appear on chattel because people do not make deals on things that can simply up and disappear. They make deals based on collectibles, which are real estate that you can never just make off with. And therefore, an Eved, it's reasonable to say that an Eved in terms of the halachas of liens would have the din of any normal chattel. Because an Eved can obviously die and then he's not worth anything, or he can run away or whatever, and you won't be able to trace him. So why would somebody want to make a deal with a she'ibud, a lien on something that can't be traced? So that's a machlokas. Is an eved considered to be karka, even legabe liens, or is he considered to be only metaltalin legabe liens? So if you hold, like this braisa, we're assuming that the eved is metaltalin, then the chiddush is that since Rebbe Meir holds that when you create a lien in your ketuvah, that it's chal even on metatalim, that's the chiddush. Now, of course, nowadays we have a takona, a later takona of the Gaonim and so on, that we actually make a filum iglima d'al katfoy from the shirt off my back, which is metatalim. We put that into the ketuvah, but that was a result of all of the problems of Jewish ownership of real estate and so on in the generations. But mi'ikar hadin, if we didn't have that written in the ketuvah, then you would be limited according to the Chachamim, and you would not be allowed to collect an eved if an eved has a din of metaltim. Or we could say the other way. We could say maybe it's Gufa coming to tell us this is not a libid of Rebbe Meir. It's going a libid of Chachamim. And the Chiddush, therefore, is that an eved has a din of karka, even vis-a-vis collection of a lien, and that would Gufa be the Chiddush. Okay. So now let's move on to the issues of tracing. Yes, Barnett, thank you. The tracing genealogy. And again, I think we're going to find the basis for all of this concern being here in the Mishnah, which will soon be introduced by our favorite Appalachian singer. All right, we've got a woman who gave birth at the same time that her daughter-in-law gave birth. And now we've got two boys, one of them who is the Bubby's son, and one of them who is the son's son, her daughter-in-law's son. Okay, they grow up, they marry, and they die without any children. So now what happens? So if we have, as we had in all of the previous cases, we have the sons that are known. One of them is the son here of the daughter-in-law. And what happens is, even if there's only one son, the case is the same. So then the children or the son of the kala does chalitza, but he cannot do yibum. The reason that he cannot do yibum is because it's true that it might be that this yavama is my brother's wife, which would be wonderful because then it would be a big mitzvah, but it also might be the bubbies, in which case it's my father's brother's wife, right? I'm not allowed to marry my father's brothers. That's one of the arayas. So I don't know who I'm taking over here. If it's my brother's wife, that's great. But what if it would be actually an Eshet Achi Aviv? So then I can't do that because it might be the Bubby's actually the one who gave birth to this one. And therefore, he can't do it. But if there are a son or sons of the Bubby, they know to be, they can do either chalitza or yibum. Why? Because after we make sure that they get chalitza, obviously, from the other one, they can say, okay, this might be my brother's wife, or, yeah, it might be my brother's son's wife. If it was the daughter-in-law that had the baby, but there's nothing wrong in marrying your niece, right? Because she's muteret. And therefore, one way or the other, it's great. I'll either be doing yibum or I'll be marrying my nephew's almana, and there's no iser in that, and she already got chalitza from the other possible yavam, and therefore, I can do either chalitza or yibum because she is a suffix of being my brother's wife or my brother's son's wife. Either way, it's fine. Now, and here is the curious enough to keep Baruch Avram up, hopefully, the curious usage of the Mishnah that I think points to, even though the Gemara doesn't explain it that way, but points to the placement of these Mishnayos here. Suppose the Ksherim die without children in this case. And what the heck are the Ksherim? So the Gemara is going to explain that the Ksherim are the ones who know who they are. so that we know which ones, instead of the ones, the husbands of the suffix of the daughter-in-law, and so on, so we know who they are. So that means the daughter-in-law's husband is one of the known sons, right? So obviously, he might have died. We're calling them for some reason Ksherim. The ones who are known are called Ksherim, and the other ones are called Psulim, which is really weird. Why are we calling them Psulim, or implying that they're Psulim? So basically, remember that the entire idea of Yibum is this concept of restoration to place in the story of the world's genealogy, so to speak. We find this in the Chumash as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to be giving the Torah to Goyim because you cannot bring me your Sifrei Yuchasim. You do not know your genealogy. And therefore, this is how we got involved before in the question of not knowing who a father is because of promiscuity, or not knowing who a father is because the Torah was Mafka de Zera. But one way or the other, what is necessary in order to be fully kosher in the ultimate sense of being in place for Geula and for the original creation of Dor Dor V'Dorshav, you need to have a genealogy. And part of that genealogy is not to be confused over here about how someone had two possible sons or daughters. We need to know the Yichus. Therefore, the Mishnah is being Merames, but we don't want to say this openly, but in our choice of words, because Chas V'Shalom, and there's so many people who are confused now as to their genealogy. So we don't want to call them Psulim. So we use a funny word to talk about the ones who know who they are, and we call them Ksherim. But what the Mishnah is really saying, Havadoim, that's the way the Gemara is going to explain it. So now in that case, if the Ksherim were the ones who died, then the children that are mixed up, so they are the ones who are going to have to take action now. And therefore, what can they do? So each one of these guys who doesn't know who he is had a brother, and those brothers died, right? So both of them are going to have to deal with the Yibum. So what do they do? So then what happens is the Ksherim die, the Ta'arovet, act in different ways depending on who it is that they're dealing with. The children, meaning the Yevamais of the Babis, Lifnei Azikina, so with them they do Chalitza, but they cannot do Yibum because each one of these maybes might be here doing Yibum with his brother's wife, yes, who's suffocation tachiv, but it might be his father's brother's wife, because he might be the one that had married that had come from the marriage of the daughter-in-law, so that he would be the son of the father that died, and he's not allowed to marry the wife of his father's brother. How about the women who are the Yevamas of the daughter-in-law? Okay, there we don't have the same problem, because one of them can do Chalitza first, and the other one goes ahead and does Yibum. Because Mamanavshach, if the first one was the uncle in this case, so now the second one is the real Yavam. That's great. And he's doing Yibum. If the first one was the real Yavam, so then he did Chalitza. So now what's the problem? To marry your brother's son's wife? There's no issue in marrying your brother's son's wife. And therefore, after she gets Chalitza and she's not a Yevama Lashuk, I can go ahead and marry her. Now, suppose we have a case of a Kohenet. She, this is a terrible case, she's got a Shivcha that she owns, right? And now the wife and the Shivcha have a child, the princess and the pauper. So in this case, they get their kids mixed up and we don't know which one is the Eved and which one is the Kohen. Oh my gosh. So what do we do over there? Hare elu ochli b'truma. Well, both of them can eat truma, because whether you are the Kohen yourself or whether you are the money of the Kohen, you get to eat truma, right? And they're cholkin chelek echad begoren, but they only get one portion at the goren when they go down to ask for truma. We'll see why that is soon. Neither of them are allowed to be metamei lameis because they're a suffix Kohen. And neither of them can get married. to anybody because they can't marry psulis because they might be a kohen, right? But they can't marry ksheras because they might be an eved. An eved is a normal kshera. So therefore, you're in trouble. So when they grow up, okay, each one gives a get shichrur to the other one. And now, at least neither of them is an eved, so at least they can marry someone who is ru'uya for a kahuna, because that way they're gonna not be marrying someone who is usher. So since we don't know who the master is and who the slave is, both of them have to write a get shichrur to the other one. And then at least they're allowed to get married, at least if the woman is not a surah to kohanim. So they can be nosim nashim ruim lakuna, ruyot lakuna. Neither of them can be metame lamezim, obviously, because they might be kohanim. But if they were metame lamezim, they wouldn't get malkas because they might not be kohanim. Neither of them are allowed to eat truma, but if they did eat truma, they don't have to pay keren v'chomesh because maybe they're allowed to eat truma. They do not get a chelek at the Goren at all, because neither are allowed to be eating. And if they have their own truma, well, they could sell that truma to a Kohen, even though they can't eat it, because Amotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. And they can keep the money. Because, what do you want? You want my truma? First prove that I'm not the Kohen. And then I'll give you truma. If you can't prove that I'm not the Kohen, you can't get the money of that truma. So they can keep the money. And we do not give them a chelek in Kochei HaMikdash. So basically, we cannot treat them as Kohanim to give them the Orot. Forget about eating, obviously not, but we don't give them the Orot or even things that are not. We'll be talking later about other gifts that are Kohanim. We don't give to them. We don't take away from them if they are the owners of their own Kochim. So let's say he ends up with a Bechor. He doesn't have to give his bechor away to a kohen. But what he has to do, of course, he's going to have to wait till it gets a mum. So they don't have to give the zrah l'chayayim or the keva, the matonais, about tzibechaver olav araya. And those things are not osur b'achila. What about the bechor? Keep the bechor until it gets a mum, and then you're allowed to eat it. V'notnim alav chumrei kohanim v'chumrei yisraelim, which the Gemara is going to say, what in the world does that add? I thought we just went through all of the cases. We'll see that there's yet a case we haven't discussed. Okay. So the Mishnah begins with saying, Metu Haksheirim. What do you mean Haksheirim? The other ones, what, just because they're mixed up and they don't know who they are, you're calling them Psulim? That's a nasty thing to say. That's like calling them what, Mamzerim? I mean, what are you calling them? So, Amar of Papa, yes, you're right. The Mishnah really is essentially saying, Ema, say it over, Metu Havada'im. But again, as I explained it, and I believe is the correct pshat, is that there's a remez to a level of psul that normally we don't consider. They're certainly not pegumim in any way, and they're certainly not psulim in any way, but nonetheless, they don't fit the Yibum's definition of complete sharing. Okay, then we said that Livnei Akala Echad Chalitz, the daughter-in-laws with those Yivames, one of them does Chalitz and one of them does Yibum, and obviously it has to be in that order. Davka Michlitz Vader Yibume, but if not, you can't do Yibum first because of the obvious problem of Yivam Alashok. Then we talked about a Kohen's wife getting mixed up. We don't know who the Kohen is and who the Eved is. And they only get one Chalek. Well, obviously they only get one Chalek. They're only Roy to get a Chalek. So what's the point over here? It means they only get a chelek as one. Not they only get one chelek, meaning they both have to be present in order to get that chelek, which means that the Mishnah is going according to the Mandi Omar. We do not give our truma to an eved unless the adain is there. Because this is a brisa that talks about a machlokas where Rabbi Yehuda holds ein chokin a truma La'eved elim kein rabo imo. We don't allow an eved to get truma unless the master is there, which makes it very clear that one is an eved and one is a kohen. Rabbi Yossi says no. He can say, the eved can come down and say, what? What's your problem? You don't know who I am? Either brother can say, if I'm the kohen, I get the truma. And if I'm not the kohen, I'm the eved, I still get the truma. So im eved kohen ani, give me the truma bishvil rabi. We're going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, and says they have to come together, and we'll see why. The reason why is that in Rabbi Yehuda's location, they used to be somech on the fact that anybody that got truma is definitely known to be a Kohen. And therefore, they would utilize that as a raya to his yichus, and he would be allowed to be a Kohen in every way. And therefore, we're not going to allow that kind of taina to give a possible eved truma, because, well, because people who see it will think, ah, so this guy is a Kohen, and he certainly is kosher leyuchsin, his daughter is a real whatever, and will end up marrying people that are not roi lakuna. But in Rabbi Yossi's makom, they did not rely on receiving truma to be a raya to your yichus. What's the problem? So go and give the truma to whoever is roi for the truma. What do I care if he's the Eved or if he's the Kohen? It's exactly the same. Nobody's going to think he's a Kohen. It says that Rabbi Elazar Tzedek says, you know, my whole life I never got involved in giving testimony that a guy is a kosher Kohen. And the one time that I did, I screwed up royally. So in my whole life, I only did that once. And because I did that, they turned out taking an Evan and they made him a Kohen because of me. Boy, did that teach me a lesson. Asks the Gemara, how could it be they actually did this? Now Tosfos says, this is wrong. And you all know why this next piece has to be taken out of the Gemara. Because Tosis has explained many times, and we've talked about it, that this halacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mevi takalal yadam, even on an animal owned by a tzaddik, is only a reference to a takola of eating something that's usur. There are innumerable cases where people can mevi takola by accident. But since achila is considered to be particular, to have a tzaddik eat something that's usur is inappropriate. If even an animal of a tzaddik wouldn't eat d'mai, remember the old story of the Chamorov, of Rapichas ben Yoyer, and the Chanina ben Dosa. So koshken tzaddikim atzman, but over here we're not talking about eating, we're talking about making an eved into a kohen. That's not something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect the tzaddik from. Anyway, so Tosfos takes all, this entire piece out, including Ela Ema Bikshu. They wanted to be Mala Eved Lakuna Alpid, but they didn't in the end. How did this happen, that he should actually have said such a thing? Well, what happened is very simple. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek was in an area that followed the halacha libet Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, in that case, they give truma out to Avadim because they weren't Mala mi truma leyuchsin. See, he went in a place that followed the dinim alibet Rabbi Yehuda, and he said, this is what I saw. So they assumed, well, if you saw that, then basically it must be a coin. So they were going to make him a coin.